is Coordinator's Corner, presented by JCW, the Burger Boys.
Good Monday. Hello once again, Cougar Nation. Welcome back inside Studio B at the BYU Broadcasting Building in Provo, Utah. It's our Week 4 edition of the Coordinator's Corner, our weekly BYU football wrap-up and preview show with the Cougs coordinating coaches. Coming up on today's broadcast, we'll look back at BYU's 34-14 win at Wyoming, a win that improves the Cougars' record to 3-0 for the second consecutive season and fourth time in the last 5 years. And we're chatting with BYU special teams coordinator and Wyoming native Kelly Papinga, along with BYU defensive coordinator Jay Hill. Today, we kick off today's show by saying hello to Coach Kelly Papinga. Good to see you again.
Good to be back.
All right, let's start off with the Wyoming background and history in the Papinga family.
Oh, boy. Well, I think the best place to start, my dad's from Utah, and mom's from New Jersey. They both graduate from here. And my dad goes to Van Nuys, California, graduate of BYU, to be a park and recreation guy down there, and ends up getting a job. After living there for 3 years in Van Nuys, they saw that that place was not a place, great place for them to raise a family. So they got a job from Van Nuys, California to Evanston, Wyoming. So the two oldest siblings were born in Evanston, my two oldest sisters, and then the rest of us born and raised in Evanston, Wyoming. And there's really no other background other than that, just kind of a random place how we ended up there. But it ended up being, I had loved growing up there and ended up being a great place for our family.
Yeah, what did you like most about living there? And as you became an athlete and started thinking about the next level, your dad, of course, he played at BYU, right?
Yeah.
Was BYU always going to be a place you hoped to play for? Or was like, man, Wyoming, has an appeal too?
No, I never wanted to play for Wyoming, ever, growing up at least. And then, BYU was always the dream. But then when I got into that recruiting process and they started to recruit me, and they were actually recruiting me a little bit harder at the time than BYU was, so I thought, okay, this might be an option. But still, BYU was always the place I wanted to be, just, with my dad playing here. And I mean, we were coming to games all the time. Evanston not being too far away, hour and a half drive from Evanston to Provo, we were coming to home games all the time, had season tickets. This was always the place where I wanted to be. But, going back to Laramie this last weekend brought back some good feelings of just, being, from the old Mountain West as a player and as a coach. And it'd been 15 years since, I've been back there as a BYU coach. But 2 years ago, I was there as a Boise State coach. I like Laramie. I mean, I win there a lot. I was like, I don't think I lost as a coach against, or as a player against Wyoming. So that's a bragging rights I have against my buddies for the rest of my life. So we'll see if we play them again. But for right now, I got that on me.
Yeah, last time on the schedule, certainly. How was the bus ride in from Cheyenne?
Oh, it was beautiful. It was awesome. Yeah, it was great ride. And that time of year in September, all of us were like, man, this place is awesome. This is great. I said, hey, wait for 2 more weeks and just see if you'll be saying those same things.
You're not in a whiteout.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the meaning of the game to the people of Wyoming, you could tell it means something to those folks.
Oh, yeah, that's a passionate fan base, and they do not like BYU. And, right from the get-go, as we're driving in and seeing all the tailgating and just seeing the passion of the fans of just, the things they were saying, the things they were doing as we're driving in, I mean, it was, you could tell that they were fired up for us to be there and excited for an opportunity to, compete against us. And see the guy in the barrel, that's always fun. But he was right behind our bench the whole game, and some of our players never had seen that before. They're like, coach, look at this guy. I'm like, oh yeah, he's been here for 50 years. Yeah. That guy's a staple here. But I think it's a very unique atmosphere, very unique place, just being kind of in the middle of nowhere, and just that cowboy rustic western feel. And it's just very unique. You don't get that feeling, I don't think, anywhere in the country. And you're at 7,000 feet, and really, it's a really tough place to play. They play, I bet their home record there is as good as, anywhere in the country. And so for us to go in there and compete and play well and run away with the game, I was happy with our guys that we were able to, get away from them and not, that it wasn't a close game. I think that was a positive for our guys and a confidence booster for them.
Well, I really enjoyed being back. It was a good summary from you on that. How much of the in-week message leading up was, okay, guys, no let up. Don't overlook this winless Wyoming team.
Yeah, they knew from last year that this team was capable of competing against high-level teams.
They beat Texas Tech and Laramie last year.
Yeah, they beat Texas Tech and Laramie, and they compete for 3 quarters against Texas. I think the score was 10-7 going into the fourth quarter of Texas last year. So they were a really good football team. And you could see it in the first couple of games. They had glimpses against Idaho and against Arizona State where this is a good football team, and they're a physical team. And anytime you're playing a physical team that wants to be able to run the ball and knows how to stop the run, that can always be a tricky situation. And, luckily for us, we were able to get the run going, on offense. And, you know, Jake had some great runs there that helped us open up some things in the pass game. And then we were able to stop the run immediately. Really didn't give him anything all night. I think it was 77 yards on 33 carries, which is less than 3 yards a carry, which is really good. Our goal usually is around 3.3 yards a carry, and to be less than three, that's a major positive for us. So we're excited about just being able to stop the things that they wanted to do that, you know, were their strengths. And I think that led us to our victory.
I think on the season right now, I think you're at 3.37 yards per carry against. So you're right in the neighborhood you want to be in. Before we get into the special teams performance, and it was a special night for the special teams, you coached the defensive ends. You were facing a quarterback that had both taken seven sacks in two games, but was also responsible for their longest run of the season coming into the game. What was your book on Evan Svoboda?
Yeah, we knew that he could run fast once he started to get going, but he wasn't going to be able to change directions. You know, he wasn't that type of guy. Not like the guy we're going to see this week for Kansas State, completely different guy. But he could, you know, once he got going, he was pretty fast. And there's two runs there where I think, you know, he got away from us on the edge. But we knew he'd been struggling, you know, in his completion percentage and getting the balls in tight. But you know, for us, it was we wanted to be able to get after him. But early in the game, you could see he did not want to take any sacks. He was getting the ball out quick and fast, you know, similar to that right there. I think last week at the end of the game when they played Idaho, I mean, he just got hit, you know, over and over and over again.
Kind of teed off on.
And they changed, you know, props to their coaches. They did change the protections a lot in that game, a lot of protections that we hadn't seen so far that they hadn't shown. And so, you know, props to them. They wanted to protect him and make sure that, you know, they were giving their tackles a little bit more help. But I still felt like we got some good pressure on the quarterback, was able to have him throw a lot of errant throws. I mean, we dropped probably two or three picks in that game that we could have had, you know, a couple by J-Rob and one by Trey Alexander late in the game. But and then we get the one with Evan. But, you know, I felt like we contained him well. And, you know, besides the one drive in the second half – or, sorry, the first half there, I felt like we played, you know, as a unit really good in that game.
Speaking of units, special teams unit, your forte, not much was happening on the special teams side of things early. Defense was just forcing punts.
Yeah.
And Parker Kingston's fair catching everything.
Yeah.
Their punter did sky a few, though. He had a high punt.
Oh, yeah. We knew going into the game that the punter was going to get great hang time. And so we knew more than likely where we were going to have success in that game was being able to go after it. And early, we went after the first, or maybe it was the second punt we went after, and they were backed up in the end zone right after the interception. You know, we get a three and out there. And so I wanted to go after it right there to see what we could do. And man, I think it was Cody Hagan was, I mean, inches away from getting a block right there. And then later on in the game, we went back to our block, and then Glasker comes free. And right at the end of the half, I think, the first half, and then he almost gets a block. And so all those little things, it's just like, you know, affecting the quarterback with a pass rush or a blitz. It's the same thing with a punter. When you want to put pressure on that guy and, you know, have him shank the ball or, you know, get him out of his rhythm so he's not getting these 45-yard balls that are, you know, four or five hang. And so and we ended up getting pretty decent field position, or we would have got, you know, pretty decent field position on that Glasker pressure if we catch the ball. And Parker made probably one of, I don't want to say it a mistake, but one thing that we got to fix is if he catches that ball right there, we get the ball on the 40-yard line with about 23 seconds to go in the half, and we have a chance to go get another field goal right there. And so that was a kind of a blunder that we had. And, you know, Parker and I talked about that at halftime, how we need to catch that ball. And then 10 seconds roll off the clock right there because they let the ball roll down.
Right.
And then now we get one play, and then we're going into half. But if we catch it right there, we have a chance to get another field goal.
Yeah, it changed the way you called the end of the half offensively.
Yeah, and that's exactly why we were calling the timeouts, why Kalani was calling the timeouts, and why we pressured, is because we felt like we could have had good field position right there to get one more score.
For the most part, he was fair catching. It's taken kind of pretty much for granted that a guy's going to catch the ball. But what makes Parker so good in just being the clean catcher, knowing that you want returns clearly, but a clean catch is sometimes a great play.
Yeah, you know, from the first game, there was a couple there where we were a little disappointed and just the little first game jitters I think Parker had, but he's been very good with the football since he became the starter about halfway through last season. So you want a guy back there that can secure the football. I always tell our punt return team, every time I get into a punt return meeting, I said our number one goal is to make sure that ball is handed to the official and our offense is coming out on the field and it's their ball. The last thing we want is some type of ball bad security where we muff the ball or we fumble a ball on a return. It's our number one priority is to make sure that we are giving the ball back to the offense once we get off the field as a punt return unit. And you know, Parker's doing a really good job of that. And just got to continue to do that to give our offense some good field position.
Back into the game flow for a bit and the defensive perspective you had on the game. The offense gets you out to a 14-0 lead. And again, playing from in front just makes everyone a little more comfortable out there.
Yeah, you know, it's a totally different ball game, especially as a defense. And the way that you call things as well, you can call things a little bit more aggressive. And you know, your pass rush can be a little bit more aggressive. And so I just feel like our guys, now three games now in a row where I feel like, you know, we've had a lead, our defense has been out there, and we're getting a lot of three and outs right now. I think we might have had seven in that game. And you know, we've started every game with a three and out, which is awesome. We got to continue to do that, you know, especially when Kalani wants to defer and have the defense start the game.
Right.
It's a huge deal, and I think a huge tone setter for our defense to go out there and be able to get three and outs and then get our punt return team out there and get our offense set up for field position. And so I think we've been doing that pretty good over the last three games.
14-0 lead. Wyoming scored a touchdown on a long drive. Then BYU scored to end the half. And for the third straight week, Will Farron gets in position for a long field goal to end the first half, and he got you points on Saturday.
Yeah, and so that's, you know, going back to last season, you know, our offense did a great job, I think, at the Oklahoma State game and in the Oklahoma game, and in two-minute drills have given Will opportunities to, you know, put some points on the board late in the half. And you know, that's a 49-yarder, and I think that's – is that the second one of the year now? Is the Southern Illinois 50, or I can't remember if that was 50.
Yeah, he went 50, yeah.
So, I mean, he's hitting some good balls, and so I'm really happy for Will. He's become one of our better players on our whole entire team, and so to have a guy like that that's reliable, can put points on the board every time he's out there, and then be able to, you know, on kickoffs, be able to get the ball out of the end zone like he's been doing and placing it in a position where it's really hard to get returns. You know, he's really helping out our kickoff team as well, and so I'm really, really happy for Will, and we just got to continue and keep going with him.
A good field goal kicker is worth his weight. In the NFL now, I mean, you probably watch it too, but whether it's college or NFL, the 50-yarder is almost like an expectation. Like, you better be able to hit for 50. Last night I'm watching Sunday night, Kaimi Fairbairn, I think he had 53, 57, 59 in the same game, plus a 49. Like, and that's what they expect of these guys now.
And, you know, I think Will, going back to last week, when we were at SMU and he missed that 55-yarder, he came off and he was probably the most disappointed he's ever been. I'm like, Will, that's a 55-yard field goal. He's like, I know, Coach, but he hits all those, you know, all the time in practice. Yeah. And so, you know, I just think he's built a ton of confidence. The team has a ton of confidence in him. I think Kalani and A-Rod have a ton of confidence as well, where maybe in the past there are some times where they wanted to go for it on fourth down, where now it's, hey, we got Will out here and we're going to get 3 points on the board for sure. And so it just continue to build that, I think, is you know, something that's just going to help our team down the road.
On that Farron field goal, Cougs were in control 17-7 at the break. BYU would get the ball to open the second half. We all know what happened with that. We'll get to that when Coordinator's Corner continues. As we go to break, a reminder to join Dave McCann and former Cougars Blaine Fowler and David Nixon tomorrow night for a brand new episode of After Further Review as they break down the film of BYU's win at Wyoming and look ahead to Kansas State. That's tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern on the BYU TV app and ESPN+. When we come back, more with BYU Special Teams Coordinator Kelly Papinga as the Coordinator's Corner continues. We're brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys.
Coordinator's Corner is presented by JCW's, The Burger Boys, and Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics.
We're back on the Coordinator's Corner, visiting with BYU Special Teams Coordinator and defensive ends coach Kelly Papinga. After BYU's 34-14 win at Wyoming on Saturday night, BYU's 10th consecutive win over the Cowboys in the last scheduled meeting between these longtime conference colleagues. This week, it's BYU's Big 12 conference opener against K-State. More on that game coming up. First up, we close the books on the win in Laramie. BYU won the pregame coin toss in Laramie. As you noted, BYU always defers when they win it. So Cougs were set to receive the second half kickoff. Let's break it down now with you.
Yeah.
This was a long time coming. We'll get a few looks at this. Keelan Marion returns the opening kick in the third quarter.
And you guys on TV can see I'm smiling ear to ear because it just we talked about it all year last year, you know, as I returned back as a special teams coordinator. And I told them, guys, the last time that we've had a kick return was the last time I was here as a special teams coordinator. And I'm not giving props to myself. I'm just saying that's a long time, guys. We had to change this. And so 10 years
2014.
Ago. Yeah, 10 years ago, I remember it versus Virginia. But, yeah, here's Keelan. You know, we had a left return called right here, and he actually ended up breaking it up through the middle of the field. And just some amazing efforts. If you go back and watch that, Coe Eldridge makes a great block to free it up right at the beginning. Ray. What's Ray's tight end? Ray's last name. Paolo makes two really good blocks to free up. He gets a kicker and then somebody late. And then Talon, Alfrey, and Sione Moa, number 30 Sione Moa, make two really good blocks at the end of that to really help him get all the way to the end zone. But it just, for a KOR to happen, it really, touchdown to happen, it really takes, you know, all 11 guys doing their job. and it takes a returner that's fearless. And if you go back and you actually watch the first return that we return in that game, it's wide open as well. We went right return on that one, and Keeneland didn't quite see it right or didn't trust it, either one. Either way, he didn't hit the seam, but there was a big seam in that that I don't know if it's going to score a touchdown, but it's going to go a long way. And instead of hitting it up what we call the alley, he ends up bouncing it to the outside. So we got it at halftime, and I just told him, hey, I pulled him aside, Kalani pulled him aside, Fessy pulled him aside, and said, hey, we believe in you. You need to hit the return where it's supposed to go, and you need to trust it. And however you see it, you need to hit it, you need to go. And if you go back and you watch that right there, he did not slow down at all. And, you know, that's being a, you know, great returners are fearless. They trust it, they see the seams, and they go, and that's what he did on that play, and that was exciting.
Well, the returners always know their job, but to have it be something where, like, coaches are specifically saying, we've got this thing, you've just got to trust it, you got to hit it, and then to see it seconds later come to fruition, that had to be, like, an amazing moment.
Yeah, and it almost came to the point, too, where you know, he missed the first one so bad, I went to Fessy and I was like, hey, do we need to try Parker back there? Do we need to get Parker back there? Because maybe Keelan's just not seeing it good. But yeah, if you watch this right here, there's no slowing down by him. That one cut right there, and then that second cut, and you can see Koa's block. That block right there by Ray, you can see Sione right here at the very end, makes a great block right there.
Yep.
And those are special things. And so when we haven't watched this as a team.
How's that going to be this afternoon?
We haven't watched it as a team, but it's going to be exciting because we've just talked about it so much. And just, hey, this is the team that's going to do it. I felt like we had the right personnel. I feel like we have the right returner. And I just felt like, you know, we have opportunities, and I think we're going to have more opportunities. So this is hopefully just the beginning of that team, because I felt going into the season it could have been one of our strongest special teams units, is that kickoff return unit. And just excited to see where we can build from here.
He showed his potential. He had one that at West Virginia last year that came back on a flag, right?
The old phantom flag on Isaiah Glasker. Oh, yeah. So we're in the end zone celebrating. All of a sudden, a flag comes out, and I'm like, what the heck? But yeah, that was the first time, you know, I think the world, you know, was able to see Keelan be as a kick return. But we've seen it in practice. I've seen it for 2 years now in practice that this guy could be a pretty special returner. So now it's just him believing in himself, trusting himself, and hopefully this builds some confidence for him going forward.
First kickoff return for Keelan. He said he didn't happen at his previous school either. Uh-huh. So first one for him, and the first 100-yard kickoff return touchdown officially since James Dye back in 1996. Mm. And it was 102-103 when you see how far he came out of the end zone. So it's a special night indeed.
And just one thing to add to that, sorry, but we knew going into that game that kicker was going to kick it deep. And so we told Keelan, we usually don't do this, is that we're going to back ourselves up 5 yards in the end zone right here, and we're going to take it out no matter what and just test this team, because they haven't covered many kicks this year. Their kicker had been kicking them out of the end zone. So I just said, I don't care how deep it is. If it's deeper than five, we'll fair catch it. But other than that, we're going to bring this out deep. And, the guys executed our game plan, and it was fun to see.
So BYU led 24-7 after the Marion House call. Next time the offense touched the ball, Will Farron makes his second field goal of the night. He was 2-for-2 on the night, a 37-yarder for Will. He's now 5-for-7 on field goal tries, 10-for-10 on PATs, long field goals of 49 and 50 on the year. You feel pretty comfortable with your guy right now.
Oh, yeah. I've said it, I think, you know, a couple weeks in a row now. We just feel really good with Will. And, you know, in that situation right there where you're inside of 40, we say those have to be automatic. And so our goal for a field goal kicker in the game is, you know, anything inside of 44 is 100%, which he was this year, and which we've been besides the first miss. I think he missed the first one of the season, which I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. He came right off the field and told me exactly what went wrong. He said, Coach, we're fine. I'll get it right. And, you know, other than that, I think he's had a pretty flawless, first three games, and just excited to see how he can continue to help our team. And it's going to be a big deal this week. This week is, I think, the field goal in just these type of games where I think it's potentially it could be a lower scoring game. You know, they're playing a good defense. We have a good defense. But, you know, I believe our offense can put some points on the board. But these games that are going to be closer, it might come down to a field goal in this situation, similar to the SMU game. And so we're going to have that team ready to go, put some points on the board.
Saturday's game got to 34-7 after three quarters. They get a long touchdown, a long drive, that is, for a touchdown against basically backups, reserves for BYU, twos and threes. But the Wyoming starters, they were all still in. They played their guys to the end, basically. Now.
Yeah, Coach Hill kept saying it, and he'll probably say it here in a couple minutes when he comes on, is those reps for those guys are so invaluable. And so there's nothing like game reps. Yeah, you can go out there and you can practice all you want. And these guys get out there on that drive right there, and these guys have played a lot during fall camp, and they go out there and they're losing their minds. It's like, guys, we've run these plays, we've run these calls so many different times, and all of a sudden we get in the game, and all of a sudden you just go haywire. And so there's nothing like game reps. And so for all those guys that I think are all going to be very good players, the Trey Alexanders, the the Cabeas, the Asiatas, all those guys that were out there that are future BYU football, those reps right there, and being able to get in the film room this afternoon and going over those together are just going to be invaluable going forward to help them continue to progress as football players.
All right, big win for BYU, nicely done. Special teams player or players of the week, you had a lot of them. Like 11, I think, because the special teams kickoff, the kickoff return unit are your players of the week.
Yeah, and I didn't want to sit there and just give it to Keelan. You know, I'd done that in the past, and I always feel bad. I'm like, there's 10 other guys out there that, you know, bust their butt on that one play right there to be able to free everybody up. And I just felt like we had to give it to that whole entire team. And so, you know, those 11 guys out there, they'll all be rewarded when we get into our team meeting today. And it'll be fun for the whole team to be able to see just the effort that that team put forward on that play. And, you know, I don't know if anybody saw the celebration between me and Kalani and the rest of the sideline.
On the sideline, it's a great view.
Yeah, and yeah. It was awesome. And so the first thing I did when I saw him cross the side or cross the end zone, I look back and I'm looking for any flags on the field. I don't see any flags, so I'm like, okay, let's celebrate this thing.
And first thing I said on the call was, and there are no flags. Yeah. All right, just ahead, a look to BYU's league opener with K-State, both teams 3-0 as they meet for the first time as conference competitors and the first time overall since BYU's win over the Wildcats in the 1997 Cotton Bowl. Our conversation with special teams coordinator Kelly Papinga continues after we tell you that Saturday night you can tune to Cougar Pregame Live on BYU Radio starting at 8:30 Eastern, 6:30 Mountain as the Cougs take on Kansas State as we go to break. Reminder that dinner after the game at JCW's includes something for everybody, from burgers to wings, shakes to salads, JCW's quality and a lot of it. In Lehigh, American Fork, Provo, South Jordan, and Harriman. Coming up next, we preview Saturday's game with K-State with Coach Papinga. You're in the Coordinator's Corner. We're brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. We are back on the Coordinator's Corner. My guest is BYU Special Teams Coordinator and Defensive Ends Coach Kelly Papinga. After a 34-14 win at Wyoming, BYU now home to K-State, 3-0 Cougs, 3-0 Wildcats. Wildcats ranked 13th in the latest AP poll. All right, this preview of BYU and K-State is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics. Well, K-State's strength right now, running the ball and stopping the run. And a big part of the offensive side is their quarterback, Avery Johnson.
Yeah, he's a special athlete. And, you know, I was at the University of Virginia and played against Lamar Jackson two different times. And I feel like this guy is as special as an athlete as that guy is. And so it'll be a major challenge for our defense and our team to stop this guy, especially him running. And he knows how to extend plays and he knows how to do zone read. And, you know, he throws the ball well enough to be able to make some plays down the field. So it'll be being able to stop him and being able to stop number 31, their running back. And then they have another special talent out of the backfield, number 3. That's also their punt returner, kick returner.
Dylan Edwards. Yep.
And, they got some dudes. So it's a great challenge for our guys. I think their O-line is athletic and, you know, they love to run the ball. So I think it's a great matchup for our D-line that I think has played really well the first three games. And so I think that's where the game will be won, will be with that front seven. And I felt like in the first three games, our success of defense has started with our front line right there. And so we gotta be able to own the line of scrimmage. And when we do that, it'll put ourselves in great position to win this game.
The first running back you mentioned, DJ Giddens, went over his 2,000 career rush yard mark last week against Arizona. And the second guy you mentioned, who's also the special teamer, Dylan Edwards, had the punt return touchdown against Arizona last week. How about this? K-State leads all of college football over the last 25 years in non-offensive touchdowns, 134 touchdowns from somebody other than the offense.
It's unbelievable. We were actually talking about that. They have 62, I think.
62 combined punt and kickoff return TDs over the last 20 years.
20 years, unbelievable.
Yeah.
So for them, that's
the most nationally.
Yeah, that's impressive. And so we got our hands full this week. And, you know, early this morning, I'm looking at their punt return team and looking what we can do. And, it's going to be a challenge, but it's going to be fun. I know our guys will be up for the challenge. And, just excited. It's a great opportunity to have Kansas State come to our stadium. I mean, this is what we've been living for forever as Cougar fans. And a part of this is to have a team like Kansas State come into LaBelle Edwards Stadium, Big 12 football conference game. And I know the Cougar Nation is going to show up and that place is going to be rowdy. And it's going to be to our advantage to have those guys going crazy. And so, just excited to see how we play that night.
And one more note, you probably already have. They've had 7 straight years with a blocked punt. Special teams coordinators, when they play Kansas State, you guys earn your money on these weeks.
Oh, yeah. It'll be fun. And I saw the block punt that they had, I think, in week 1.
The opener,
yep. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. I'm up for the challenge, and I really respect these guys. They've done a great job. Tough physical football team that very detailed in everything that they do. And yeah, it's a great challenge to just see where we are as a football team. And I think this is a great metric to just show where we really are. So we'll find out Saturday night.
Hope to bring that late night magic too. Oh, yeah. Saturday nights, late nights at Lavelle River Stadium, they can be pretty special.
They've always been one of my greatest memories as a player is a late night Saturday night game, TCU versus BYU my senior year. And yeah, just remember the environment that place was at, and yeah, just excited to get it back in. I know the fans are too as well.
Right.
So it'll be fun to get everybody back in that stadium and do some great stuff.
Well, good luck in the prep for it, and have a great call on Saturday night.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
All right, that's Coach Papinga. Tomorrow night, join us for BYU football with Kalani Sitake as the coach and a special guest. Look back at BYU's win against Wyoming and ahead to the Cougs in K-State. Tuesdays, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app and ESPN+. Coming up next, I'm joined by defensive coordinator Jay Hill as the Coordinator's Corner continues. We're brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys.
Coordinator's Corner is presented by JCW's The Burger Boys. Siegfried and Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years. And Smith's, low prices, market fresh.
You're in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. For a second straight year, the Cougs have won the first three games of their season, sweeping the non-conference slate as BYU is now halfway to bowl eligibility after a 34-14 win at Wyoming on Saturday night. This week, BYU's second season in the Big 12 kicks off with the Cougars taking on Kansas State for the first time in 27 years. The Wildcats 13th in the AP poll after a 31-7 home field dismantling of Arizona on Friday night. Our second half hour of the show begins as we chat with defensive coordinator, associate head coach, and safeties coach Jay Hill. Coach Hill, good to see you once again.
Yeah, great to be with you.
All right, let's look back. You knew Wyoming was struggling on offense coming in. What did you see as the challenges they posed, things you wanted your guys to be really keyed into?
Well, we needed to stop the run. We knew the quarterback was going to keep it on certain short yardage situations, but our biggest thing was stopping the running back runs, which I thought we did a great job of, and then not giving them those cheap, easy shots down the field that they want, and I thought we did a good job of that.
Your defense has been the first unit on the field in each of BYU's first three games, and in all three games, defensive three and out on the opening series.
Yeah, if we can keep that up, that's a good deal. I take that back to the preparation of the players. They've been ready to go. I think the coaches have done a great job of having the players ready to just come out of the gate strong, and it was again happened in the Wyoming game.
A run and then two passes, and just like that, the offense gets the football. It wasn't until Wyoming's fourth series of the game that they got a first down. And on that series, you actually forced a punt after they got to a second and, from a second and two to a punt. I thought that was a pretty important moment in the game because then BYU's offense scores a touchdown on the ensuing possession. So they're thinking we're manageable driving it here second and two. Then moments later, they're down two touchdowns.
Yeah, just getting out of those early four drives that you mentioned were huge. And the early start just to get us rolling, feeling good about ourselves was big. And we were able to give the quarterback a couple different looks where I didn't feel like he ever got into a rhythm early. And the guys played well.
What do you think of big number 17 there, Svoboda? He's really struggled to complete passes, but as he showed here, he's got enough running ability to keep you honest.
He does. He's straight line, got good speed. He's not super nifty. He struggled with some throws. I thought there were a couple in there he had a chance to make and didn't, overthrew it. But he had shown that on film as well, and we were playing to that. So we were going to make him have to beat us with his arm in this particular game and, load up and stop the run. So that's what we did.
Another week where the offense gets you out to a two-score lead, and they've done such a nice job of opening up on top, and it does help the way you call your game, doesn't it?
It does. It's always good to play with a lead, especially late in the game if you have a lead and they got to start chucking it. In that setting and against our packages that we have where we can bring some blitzes and drop eights and different things to confuse the quarterback, you just don't want to play from behind if you're the opponent. And the offense scoring those early touchdowns was huge for us to feel like we were out front and could play our game.
Their one scoring drive in the first half, touchdown drive, was helped by a defensive holding penalty on a third down. It might have got you out of it. But I think you thought that for the half, you were pretty happy with how the team played,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they didn't have a lot of yards in the first half. I didn't love that drive, obviously. That was the one thing they got going in the whole first half. But it just seemed like we got a smidge out of whack on that one drive with some tempo that they gave us. I messed up one call, quite frankly, that I wish I would have had back. But the reality is we had them stopped on a key third and long, and we let the quarterback out of the gate on something that we just didn't run quite correctly. I wish we had that one back, and then they really get nothing in the first half.
But a 17-7 lead and a team gaining 100 yards, you're really pleased, I'm thinking, at halftime.
Yeah, I mean, we knew that if we just continue to play the way we should, that, you know, we were going to be in a good position for the second half. But now you got to go out and make plays in the second half, which we had to do. But I felt good about the situation going into halftime.
By the way, how was it being back in Laramie, whether it's the bus ride in from Cheyenne or just seeing the fans as you're walking to the building, just the environment that night?
Well, the environment was good. It had been a long time. I had not coached in Laramie for a long time, almost 20 years. So it was fun to get back. It was fun to get the win because last time I think we were there, we did not win. So
you were with Utah at the time?
I was with the University of Utah. So anyway, it's always good to go out there and get wins because it's not necessarily an easy place to travel to or to get victories, especially when the crowd's into it like they were.
Yeah, 20,000 plus there on Saturday night. All right, to coming up, how the Cougs have closed out the Cowboys in Laramie on Saturday. You can get ready for BYU in Kansas State this Saturday with BYU Sports Nation Game Day's expanded pregame coverage beginning 2 hours prior to kickoff at 8:30 Eastern, 6:30 Mountain Time this Saturday on BYU TV. When we come back, the Coordinator's Corner continues with Coach Jay Hill. We're brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. More after this.
Okay, that's good. Whoa, whoa, Dave!
Sorry, I'll go grab some paper towels.
You can't let Dave pour things. He works at JCW's. They fill stuff up past the brim over there, like their milkshakes. They're thick, rich, and oh my gosh.
Delicious?
Oh no. Dave's filling up Crystal's car for her.
Dave, stop!
Hey, this is Clark for JCW. Stop into any of our 5 locations today. We're located in American Fork, Thanksgiving Point, Provo, South Jordan, and our new location in Harriman. Come in and see why at JCW's we believe in quality and a lot of it.
Cougar Nation, your game day just got upgraded. Download the BYU Cougars mobile app and check out Game Day Mode. Your destination for all things game day. Immerse yourself in the ultimate fan experience, including live highlights, rosters, and game notes. Elevate your in-game experience with interactive games and activations. Find the app now by searching BYU Cougars in the Apple App or Google Play stores and download today.
I give Siegfried and Jensen 5 stars. They've been amazing to work with. My name is DJ. I was seriously injured in a car accident. I called Siegfried and Jensen because the insurance company was trying to take advantage of me. They were great, just making sure that I was taken care of and getting all the treatment that I truly needed. These insurance companies are not trying to help you at all, so you need somebody to fight for you.
Here for you whenever and wherever you need us. Call Siegfried and Jensen.
The insurance company didn't have my back, but Siegfried and Jensen did.
Just got a guitar for my birthday and I'm trying to figure out how to play it. I just taught myself this. I'm kind of getting the hang of it. I'm pretty good.
This learning experience brought to you by BYU Radio. Well, we don't give guitar lessons, but when you listen to our podcast, you'll learn about everything. Expand your horizons and open your mind. Listen to BYU Radio. Download the BYU Radio app or listen wherever you get your podcasts.
I should be in a band.
A lob deep down the left side looking for Stevenson, and does he come down with it? There were two Cougars. I think it's an interception. Yes! Evan Johnson comes away with it with his first career pick. Welcome back to the Coordinator's Corner, visiting with BYU defensive coordinator Jay Hill after BYU's 34-14 win at Wyoming on Saturday night. 10th consecutive win over the Cowboys in their final scheduled meeting. The Cougs' non-conference schedule is in the books. Big 12 play gets underway this Saturday. K-State visiting Provo for the first time since 1977. Capping our recap of the Cougs and Cowboys from Saturday, the Keelan Marion kickoff return touchdown to open the second half. All but put this one to bed. What a perfect way to start the third quarter. BYU's first kickoff return touchdown in 10 years.
Well, I thought it was awesome. And, Coach Pop did a great job, obviously, designing it. I thought the players did a good job blocking it. And it opened up bigger than life. And happy for Keelan, you know, just to see him make a huge play like that in a critical situation. That was a big play in this game.
First kickoff return touchdown since 2014 and the first one of 100 yards or more since 1996. Another Wyoming three and out early in the third quarter. Their sixth of the night, by the way. A BYU field goal, now you're up 20. The kind of game that allows you to get a lot of different defensive players into the game. What's the value of that kind of win that lets you do that?
Well, that's huge for the development of those young players that haven't played a lot. It was big for so many of our backups to get those valuable reps that they need to progress. And quite frankly, on the very last drive of the game, we did not play very well. But those guys will learn from those mistakes and we'll get better. You hate giving up that last touchdown, but the value that we gain from it in teaching those players about those situations is huge.
Is there also an added health benefit of, well, we're relatively clean in this game. Let's get our mainline guys out and keep them healthy for the next week.
Yeah, huge benefit. There's wear and tear that occurs over a 12-game season. So when you can get those big leads and you can get your backups in late, that's just, you know, 10, 15 reps a game that you take off some of your starters. That's a big deal by the end of the season. And that was a huge value to us leaving that game healthy like we did.
You always knock on wood. You haven't had Mori Bamba yet, but for the most part, through the non-conference, would you say that your defense is in pretty good shape for being the game that it is of football?
Yeah, for sure. Three games in, I think I've mentioned this before, I think our athletic group, our trainers and staff have done a great job. I think our strength staff has done a great job, sports scientists. So we're mostly healthy. And the guys, I think the way we've programmed them are only going to get stronger as the season goes on.
Okay, let's get back into the game for a bit. Before I do, I mentioned Mori Bamba. How close is Mori to getting maybe back on the field and helping you?
Well, we hope he's ready to go this week. He's for sure going to start practicing. We'll see how he looks.
Great. Back into the game for a second. Just one sack on the night for either team. It came courtesy of Jack Kelly. Jack Kelly's been an amazing newcomer for you. You knew well of him, but he's just game to game, play by play. He stands out.
Well, Jack Kelly's got speed. He's nifty off the edge. He's really come along as an inside linebacker. So I've been super happy with how he's played, but it's not been a surprise to me. I knew a lot about Jack Kelly, obviously.
What's his comp or what's his profile? Who is he like, maybe, of guys you've coached or somebody that even might be a next level guy that you said he could do this with enough time?
Well, at BYU, he's probably a lot like Kyle Van Noy.
Okay.
Because he can rush the passer. He's an instinctive, nifty football player. He's got good speed. So I don't know if that's fair yet to Kyle because of the career Kyle's had, but that's kind of how he plays.
Excellent. BYU maintained a big lead in this game. Steady play both sides of the ball. 34-7 when the Cougs got their only takeaway of the night. Really nice play on the ball from Evan Johnson. It was his first career interception. In the fourth quarter.
Well, I'm happy for Evan. He's been playing really well. He's got a lot of talent. He's got a lot of ability. He's just needed reps and has played well. And this is a huge play in this game. And not every corner in the country can make that, what he just did there. So he showed his athleticism right there.
I think when the season began, a lot of fans were like, well, he's a starting corner. Who's Evan Johnson?
Yeah. Well, Evan is a guy that's just got better and better ever since I've been here. He's got great speed. He was a 10-400-meter guy in high school. Came out of a high school in the northern part of California that not many people recruit, and so he probably went a little bit underlooked for his ability, but what a good get for BYU, and I think his future is very bright. He's only going to get better and better.
We had the chance to talk to him post-game, really a delightful conversation. He seems like a nice guy to have on the team, in the locker room, and in a lot of ways.
Great person, great player, comes from a phenomenal family. So the fans are going to love watching him throughout his career.
Great. Final score was 34-14 Cougs. Let's talk about your safety group for a second. Raider DeMooney ended up actually being the leading tackler with four solo tackles on the night. Good to see Raider back and contributing too.
Well, Raider had that injury that kept him out of fall camp and a lot of the summer conditioning stuff. So he's back healthy now. The reps have been valuable for him. He's another one that I suspect will only get better and better and better. He's got a ton of ability, and the opportunities to play are only going to make him more comfortable in this system and the scheme.
How comfortable are you with safety depth right now?
Well, the depth is outstanding. One of those positions where I could play any one of eight guys and feel comfortable that we can win with those guys. We do need to start honing in on three or four of the guys to get more reps than the others, but I've been happy with the group thus far.
Tommy Prassis has gotten meaningful reps from day one. I saw Faletau back in the game. You're playing pretty much everybody.
We are playing those young guys for sure. Faletau, Tommy, those guys are going to be great players in this defense. The other guys that I trust so much, Tanner Wall, Talon Alfrey, Crew Wakely, Micah Harper, those guys have played at a very high level. I trust those guys, and we're trying to bring along the young guys to add competition to that group.
You can't overstate the fact that you just said, I trust about eight guys to play at this level. That's a pretty good position to be in, isn't it?
It is, because we have depth. And then the other big thing for that is those guys are all sprinkled throughout the special teams units, and they're contributing in so many ways. Like an Ethan Slade hasn't played a lot on defense, but man, he's one of our most valuable guys in other things that he does on our football team. And so I don't think you can overstate how important those guys are to the football team.
How are you continuing to like the booth routine to this point?
Well, I like being on the field better. It's just the excitement, the energy of the stadium, all that. I like it better, but I can stay more calm. I guess it's better for the heart. And I do see things better from the box, and I think adjustments and stuff like that we can make better with me in the box. We'll see how it continues to go. At least through the bye week, I plan on being in the box.
BYU right now responsible for a number of outstanding national defensive stats. And among them is your top five team right now in pass efficiency defense.
Which is the biggest stat in pass defense, in my opinion. It takes in completion percentage, interceptions, touchdowns that they've thrown.
Which, by the way, no one's thrown a touchdown pass against BYU yet.
Okay, good. Right. Let's keep that rolling. If we can keep that all season, I'll like that stat for the rest of the year. Anyway, bottom line, they're doing so many good things. I can't say enough about the players and the assistant coaches on how they've really come together. Now, the tests are going to get harder, but I really believe this. We're going to get better, too, as the season goes on.
All right, we have an offensive player of the week from Coach Roderick we're going to get to in a second. First up, your defensive player of the week is a fellow we just talked about a few moments ago, the corner, Evan Johnson.
Evan Johnson's done a great job for us, made a huge play in that game, and continues to cover well, so I'm happy for him.
And we'll see one more look at Evan Johnson elevating for his first career interception. He said off the air on the headset before he got to him, first of many is what he hoped it would be. So that would be great if he has many more to come in BYU Blue. Evan Johnson, Coach Hill's defensive player of the week. As for Coach Roderick, he likes Chase Roberts. Chase Roberts with another 100-yard receiving effort, 6 for 129. Outstanding grab after outstanding grab. He's so reliable out there.
Super reliable. He's got great speed. He's got size. And I love his preparation. He's truly one of those leaders on our football team. And man, I can't say enough about his playmaking right now.
And this came on the double throw, I believe, and hangs on to it despite hammering the turf. I mean, just does so much good work for BYU, and he's the top target for the Cougs and is the offensive player of the week from Coach Aaron Roderick. All right, time again for a break. And as we step away, we remind you that your day-to-day Cougar sports play-by-play is on BYU Sports Nation with Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan weekdays, noon Eastern, on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Coming up in our final segment of this week's show, Coach Hill will give us the scouting report on K-State. The Coordinator's Corner is brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys.
You Radio.
You are in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. It's our final segment of the show in this week four as we chat with BYU defensive coordinator Jay Hill. Well, marquee matchup of 3-0 teams, BYU hosting Kansas State this Saturday at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Speaking of the namesake, Lavelle's first career win came against Kansas State back in 1972, season opener.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't know that. Hopefully that brings us good luck again this time.
Cougs are 4-4 all time against the Wildcats with wins in three of the last four meetings, but it's been a long time since they played here in Provo back in 1977. All right, first season as a full-time starter for their quarterback, Avery Johnson, a really unique talent. Ran for 110 yards against Arizona in that Friday night win, most for a K-State quarterback in a game since 2020.
Well, he can really run. He's super fast. I think he's got great feel for when to pull the ball. Does a good job managing their offense. We got our hands full this week, just containing him and their run game for sure.
They're one of the best running teams in the country, in part because of Johnson, but they've also got a 2,000-yard back in D.J. Giddens. So between the quarterback and that top running back, then you throw in a Dylan Edwards, who can also play running back, but is a special teams phenom as well. Some high-level talent that will challenge you.
They do. I think the running backs run hard, and they've got great vision. They see the holes well. They've got power guys, and they've got speed guys. And the quarterback just makes you have to play him so honestly, because he can pull it at any time. But they can hurt you in so many ways in the run game. And the whole offensive line does a great job blocking for them.
They played Friday night. I remember I was watching the game in my hotel. Did you guys have enough time during your Friday nights and Friday night of Laramie prep to even take a look at that game? Or did you just basically, I said, I'll wait for the cut up, wait for the film?
No, we watched that game on Friday night. A lot of us did. And we've watched a lot of K-State even through the summer. We watched a bunch on them, and they don't change much. The offensive coaches do a great job of scheming what they feel is going to be good for that particular week, and they do what they do, and they do it well.
Mentioned with Coach Papinga, they lead the nation over the last quarter century of non-offensive touchdowns. They'll score on special teams and defensively. They're really well-rounded that way.
Well, they're super well-coached. Chris Kleiman's one of the best coaches in the country. I think his teams are always super disciplined. They do a great job of just kind of getting you in your little hole, and then they pounce on you when you make a mistake. So we're going to have to go in there in all three phases, play super sound, and just sit and battle with them. If we're tough and we battle with them, then we're going to be right there at the end. But we got to be able to fight and claw and dig and not make the mistakes that they're looking for that you just mentioned.
They've scored 28 points or more in 11 consecutive games. Once you get up into 28-30, you feel pretty good about your chance to win a game. What you've been doing right now is keeping those teams well below that number.
Well, we need to. Again, we're going to need to play great defense this week. They have a good, solid defense for K-State. We're going to have to match that. Or exceed it with our physicality and our discipline and our execution. We're going to have a big game on defense.
After one go-around in the Big 12, starting your second season now in this conference, what do you think helps from having had a season in the league to start number two, your number two?
Well, just understanding of these teams that come in with the good run games like we've played before in the Big 12, the toughness and discipline that these other Big 12 teams have, we're going to have to match. We're going to need a big-time showing from our crowd. The crowd can play a real pivotal role in this game, I believe, and them just coming in and creating a home field advantage is going to be a big deal for us. But K-State's another really talented, tough Big 12 team that we're going to have to match that.
On that note, they're playing a 9:30 p.m. body clock start. I know when the kick time came out, their first reaction for the fan base was, we're really playing at 9:30 their time. They're not as used to it maybe as BYU is playing these really late Saturday night games. Is there any kind of intrinsic advantage just because of routine, or is it football?
No, I think it's football. I think those guys will show up. We got to be ready for their best shot. We got to be ready to play our best game and focus more on us than how they handle the late kick.
Okay, the fact that it is a late Saturday night, though, in that building, it'll be sold out. I know how excited you get thinking about those nights. Hopefully it's another special night that way, right?
Well, I'm excited right now just thinking about it, right? The fans, the crowd, it will be electric. It's two really good football teams going at it. And like I say, we need everyone to show up, the crowd, ready to roll and ready to be loud.
They're a ranked team. They're 13th in the AP. And you think they're well worth the ranking, what you've seen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they can run it. They play great defense. They're worth it. And they're super discipline and well-coached. They're worth the ranking right now.
A couple last things for you. 3-0 for the second consecutive season. That's great. There's obviously a desire to have, this year's 3-0 mean maybe more than last year's. And we had players talking post-game. It's going to be different. What do you think makes this team potentially better equipped to maybe close it out this year than last?
Well, I can speak for defense. We're executing at a higher rate as far as just the cleanliness of the calls and how we're executing them. I think we're a little more physical than we were last year. We were a great tackling defense against Wyoming and have been really throughout most of the year. That needs to continue. I think we'll be a little more opportunistic with sacks and turnovers than we were a year ago. A lot of the offensive skills back from last year, we should be better than we were last year. And I think we're more equipped just understanding the Big 12 than we were a year ago.
All right, well, the Big 12 battles begin on Saturday night. I can't wait for it to get here. I know you're excited. You've got a lot of work to do this week, and you're excited for that part of it, too.
Can't wait. Let's go get after him.
All right, thank you, Coach. That's Coach Jay Hill. And for Coach Hill and Coach Kelly Papinga and our entire crew, we thank you for joining us for another edition of the Coordinator's Corner. Back with you next Monday at noon Mountain, 2 o'clock Eastern time. For all the coaches and the crew, my name is Greg Wrubell. Have a great week. Go Cougs.